Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I am so glad to be back with you today to bring you a message of hope from God's eternal Word. You know, the Bible said that the things that were written aforetime for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. So I pray that you won't turn that dial, that you will leave it right here on WMAF, and that you will listen for the next 30 minutes for a message to lift your heart, lift your spirits. We're going to got a great message today about trusting God in troubled times, trusting God no matter what, finding comfort in times of crisis. So let's get right into the message today. We have so much to say to you by the authority of God's Word, something that you can stand on in very uncertain times. Let me make an opening statement here that we are living in the perilous times that the Bible said would mark the last days. Literally catastrophic times, fearful times, filled with uncertainty and anxiety. It is crucial that we develop a genuine faith that will set us apart from the world about us if you are a Christian today. And if you're not a Christian today, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are without God, you are without hope in this present world. That is a bold and strong statement to make. It means that beyond your own resources, your own ingenuity, your own strength, there is no power or force or person to help you. But if you are a Christian today, you are never without heavenly resources. Amen. And they are supernatural. And you're praying to a God today, if you're a Christian, that is very, very real and very, very near you today. Amen. I've often said He's not just the most high God, but He's also the most nigh God. And we're going to talk about Him today. We're going to read a scripture about trusting God in troubled times out of Psalm 46. This is a theme that's reoccurring on this radio broadcast because we are living in very, very troubled times. And I'm not just talking about the economic crisis that is global, but I'm talking about those things that are local to us and personal to us. I just heard the news this morning of shootings and killings and when people resort to violence and the killing of the innocent and then the taking of their own life or they're being killed by the police, whether it be the school in Germany where students were killed or whether it be in Alabama where a young man went on a rampage. It's a double tragedy. It's a tragedy of the innocents that are lost, and it's a tragedy that someone lost all hope. And because of the hopelessness that they felt and the desperation that they did these despicable things. And most of the time it is people that no one would have dreamed would have went over the edge like this and did these things. Listen, there's a very real enemy in this world called the devil. And the Bible said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Oh, there's hope for you today in Jesus Christ. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, please stay tuned and listen to what God offers you through a right relationship with Him because of what Jesus did at the cross. We're going to read Psalm 46 out of the Old Testament today. It says so much about trusting God in the time of trouble and finding actual comfort in the Word of God. Amen. Listen to this. God is our refuge. Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1, and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. That word Selah, capitalized Selah, some scholars believe it's a pause to reflect upon the statement that has just been made, or the group of statements that have been made, to take it in before going any further. You know, this is a time I think I'm going to pause right here like the Bible tells me to, and just make a statement. What a wonderful privilege to trust a God who said no matter what happens, how this cataclysmic event that's being described here is beyond our imagination, and yet the Bible said, though the mountains be removed and carried to the midst of the sea, the waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we don't have to be afraid, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It didn't mean that fear won't come. It means that when fear comes, we know how to manage it. The Bible went on to say in another psalm, the name of our God, in the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Why do we run into it? Because we experience fear like anyone else. But when we run to our God for refuge and put our trust in Him, that fear diminishes and that fear absolutely evaporates, and great peace floods our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the only place to run. You can't run from trouble, but you can run to God when trouble comes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen to verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And here's that word Selah again. Amen. God wants you to think about this. He is a refuge for us. Amen. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations hath he made in the earth? He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Here's that word again, Selah. Think about that. I think the word refuge is what God wants us to understand and comprehend and apprehend and appropriate today. Refuge. Everywhere that word is used in here, in context of God being with us and us trusting in Him and finding a refuge, the word Selah is used. Some scholars say it means to be still and quietly contemplate this. Get it down in your spirit, not just touching your mind for a brief moment, but get it down on the inside of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Interestingly, Psalm 46 was written at a time of national crisis in Israel. It was quoted by Billy Graham after 9/11 in the congressional prayer meeting. Billy Graham read it during his sermon at the National Cathedral. Martin Luther, the great reformer, wrote the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, based upon his study of this psalm. Listen to a stanza from A Mighty Fortress. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Praise God. Amen. Number one, God's presence today is our refuge. Listen again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 1 said, God is our refuge and strength. Literally, the Hebrew word for trouble here refers to a tight place. He's a present help in time of trouble. Sometimes we speak of being in trouble as being between a rock and a hard place, or being in a tight. That's exactly the idea represented in the word. It means when the whole world is pressing in on you, when circumstances are strangling you, when you feel helpless and alone, God becomes our refuge and strength if we choose to look to Him. When we are in trouble, we are to remember then two great truths about God. First, He's our refuge and strength. Refuge carries the idea of shelter. Have you ever been caught outside in a storm? What do you want? What's the first thing you think of? You think of finding shelter. In 1775, Augustus Toplady, while traveling from one town to another, was caught in a violent storm on foot. He was traveling, and while finding refuge, he really pressed himself in between two great rocks. He pinned while in between those two rocks as the storm raged around him, but not able to touch him. He pinned the words to the great hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Psalm 61:4 says, "I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." It doesn't mean that God has big wings. It means that God is our shelter, our refuge, to strengthen us when trouble comes. Second, God is a very present help when we are in the midst of troubling times. Present help literally translates speedy aid. God is always present and quick to come to our aid when things get tough. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 that said you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Listen to this, for he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. God will bring speedy aid to you. It doesn't mean that the circumstance immediately in every situation is going to change, but it does mean that the peace of God will flood your soul, the strength and grace of God will come into your life, and God will do that very quickly. And it will give you the strength to wait, to be patient. Don't ever think God's delay is His denial. Praise the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, "Listen, he never withdraws himself from his afflicted. He is their help effectually, constantly. He is present or near them, close at their side, and ready for their succor." And this is emphasized by the word "very" in our version. He is more present than a friend or relative can be, yea, more nearly present than even the trouble itself. God is not only a refuge and a very present help. The Bible says that He is our shield. Psalm 3:3 says, "But you, O God, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." Sometimes God shields His people from trouble, and sometimes He delivers His people from trouble. Sometimes He sends our troubles away before we even know them. He refuses to let troubles enter our life. It would stagger us to know how much trouble God has shielded and protected us from. On the other hand, sometimes God allows us to face struggles, trials, and tight places so He can teach us to rely on Him for deliverance, so we can learn that He indeed is our only refuge. Someone said it this way: sometimes God calms the storm for His people, other times He calms His people for the storm. Praise the Lord. I've often said that in my own words, that if He doesn't speak to the sea and tell it, "Peace be still," He will certainly speak to you and to your heart and say, "Peace be still." And when you have peace in your heart, you can weather the storm. Have you heard it been said? I've often heard it been said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Well, I'm going to go on record as saying I'm not a tough person in and of myself, but I have supernatural sustaining strength and grace that comes from God alone. Oh, that men and women, boys and girls everywhere could experience this grace. I don't believe we would see these killing rampages and people taking their own life like they are in our society and our culture. If people could obtain the peace of God, there would be no reason for these violent outbursts when people just literally go over the edge and come under the influence of evil. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the gospel of Jesus Christ covered this world? What a different world it would be if people could find their strength, their hope, their refuge in a good and gracious God. Hallelujah. That's why I'm glad I'm a preacher, a proclaimer of righteousness in a generation like this. I know the power of God to deliver, to set free from sin, and to give hope to people who are without God and without hope in this present world. In verses 2 and 3, we see that because God's continual presence is our refuge, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The earth, the mountains are symbols of stability. What is more stable than the earth below our feet? We always take it for granted. What is more solid than the mountains? We don't ever expect the earth to move. It's a solid and permanent. We can't, in our wildest imagination, dream of the great Rocky Mountains crumbling to dust and rolling down to the Pacific Ocean. Yet we've seen many things in our lives that seem so stable become suddenly unstable. What we do when our stability is shattered is so important. It's so important that we find the refuge that God offers us. The common response in the time of trouble like that is panic, crimson red fear. The Bible tells us in verse 2, because God is our refuge, because He is our ever-present help, therefore we are not afraid. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This word right here, sound mind, doesn't mean the same thing as sound doctrine, pure and undefiled. And that's not what this word sound means. It is actually the Greek word for disciplined. It means being able to put your focus on your God instead of your trouble. We had a service recently where I quoted a quote that Oral Roberts made many, many years ago that I never forgot. He said, don't just talk to God about your mountain. Talk to your mountain about your God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so gracious and so good, and He is so great and so mighty. Listen to what it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 45. Through 52, it says, here we have the account of Jesus sending the disciples out in the midst of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, where He goes to the mountain to be alone with His Father. Of course, in a small boat in the middle of a great storm, the disciples are panicking. Jesus comes to them, walking on the waves. At first, they fear even more because they think He is a ghost or an apparition. He comforts them by saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then He goes up to the boat to them and calms the storm. Verse 51 concludes by saying, I'm just going to just tell you this instead of read it all. They were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Hallelujah. God's peace when it comes, whether He speaks to the storm without and demonstrates His authority over nature, or He speaks to the storm within and demonstrates His authority over human nature. Oh, it is so wonderful when His peace comes. The Bible said there's a peace that passes all understanding. I love the fact that they were amazed in themselves and beyond measure and marveled. Praise the Lord. God's peace then is our refreshment. In verse 4 through 7 of Psalm 46, when we are in trouble, we're to remember the true truths about God. He's our refuge, and He is our strength. Listen to verse 9 of Psalm 46, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our ever-present, helpful friend, and gives us refuge from the troubles of life. What's more, even in the midst of trouble, verse 4 says, God sends a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, friend, you need to get, if you're out of church, if you're not attending church there in Madison, and locally, I know there's some good churches, there's some good ministers in Madison. Oh, you need to be in church Sunday. Oh, you need to hear a message of hope from God's Word. You need to be instructed in righteousness. Amen. I saw a man the other day work for a company that is laying off, and he looked concerned, deeply concerned about his own job and future. And he looked me in the eye, though, out of that deep concern that you could see on his face as we discussed the issue. And he said, I am so glad that I'm right with God. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, being right with God means you can claim these great covenant promises. Amen. These are not just ancient promises to an ancient people. These are promises to men and women everywhere for all time. God is the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. And He wants to be your God and your refuge today. And you can know Him if you don't by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And if you do know Him, you can come to a place of trust in Him. Remember the scripture I quoted earlier? The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Praise the Lord. Listen, the river also is significant in biblical history. Some scholars say the sons of Korah wrote this psalm to commemorate when the Assyrians, under King Sennacherib, attacked Jerusalem, literally laid siege. Jerusalem under King Hezekiah was besieged by foreign invaders. The fields were burned and the city was surrounded. However, Jerusalem had one great advantage. Though there were no natural sources of water within the walls of the city, and they couldn't go out and get water, nearby was Gihon, or Virgin Springs. A conduit from the spring was cut into bedrock for 1,700 feet so that it would empty into the pool of Siloam near the temple. Remember Jesus, years and years after Psalm 46 was written, told a blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Hallelujah. And he came back seeing. Hezekiah ordered the springs and the conduit concealed so that unbeknownst to the enemy, there was a continual supply of fresh spring water within the city walls. There was indeed a river whose streams thereof made glad the city of God. Amen. They were drinking from those springs and being refreshed, though they were besieged by an enemy. And while they waited upon God to deal with their enemy and deal with him, God did and delivered his people. But while they were in the interim, while they were waiting, amen, God's delay was not his denial, and he was sustaining them while they waited, refreshing them. Praise the Lord. Without that life-giving water, the people would have perished, not by the attack of the enemy on the outside, but the lack of refreshment on the inside. Oh, the Bible speaks of times of refreshment from the hand of the Lord. Praise God. This peace that God offers you and me, this living water that comes by experiencing His presence by the Holy Spirit in our life, this is our refreshment. Oh, I want to tell you again, if you're anywhere you're hearing this broadcast by a computer around the world, I'll find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Get in it Sunday. Andrew Bonar, great Christian of old and a man that made many noted statements, said, "I never read the paper till I first read the Bible." Praise the Lord. We need the courage. We need the consolation. We need the comfort of Scripture as we face troubled times. And God's Word is designed by God Himself to lift us up and give us hope and comfort in the time of trouble. There was once a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at the pictures, but there was only two he really liked, and he had to choose between the two. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for peaceful, towering mountains were all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought it was a perfect picture of peace. There was another picture that had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky from which rain fell and in which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all, but when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There in the midst of the rush of angry water sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture. Do you know why? "Because," exclaimed the king, "peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means being in the midst of all those things and still being calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. When we are besieged and troubled by our enemy, we need a life-giving stream of refreshment. We need the gentle waters of God's grace over our lives. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Listen to this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ." That's in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. In other words, pray. Give your problem to God, and He will flood your soul with refreshing, life-sustaining peace. I'm going to say that again. He will flood your soul with refreshing, life sustaining peace. Oh, I'm so glad that I know the Lord. It is so good this morning and this afternoon as I'm coming to you to be right with God. Because being right with God means that I have a Father in heaven. I've been reconciled. My sins have been forgiven, judged in Jesus, punished in Jesus. The price for my ransom has been paid by the blood of Jesus. And today, no matter what happens, though the mountains be removed, all the things that are so stable in our life be shaken, God is my refuge, and God is my strength. And friend, He wants to be your refuge, and He wants to be your strength today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know there's a lot of things you can do to try to find refuge. You can try to find it in alcohol. Try to find it in drugs, an illicit sexual relationship, money, power, fame. But all of those things will leave you empty when the mountains shake and the earth trembles under your feet and earth-shaking circumstances touch your life. Oh, would you open your heart today and say, "Jesus Christ, I've put this off too long. I want you as my Savior, my friend, my helper in the time of trouble." And if you're a Christian today, will you put your trust in the Lord and stand upon His Word just now and be still and know that He is God? Oh, come back next week, will you, friend, and let's talk about Jesus.